So, today we're talking about this, the Word of God, and not just about it, we're going to be reading it as well, which is always good. Let me just clip this on. Is that working? Everyone can hear me? Grand, right. One of the things that we've said as a church that we want to be is grounded on God's Word. That sounds really loud. Is that all right for everyone? That's good. So Paul, when he talked through Isaiah 61, said, we want to be a church that's grounded on God's word. But what does that actually mean? And why do we want to be a church that's grounded on God's word? You know, why is that important? So essentially today, there are three things, like any good preach, that I want to try and communicate or to remind us of today. So the three things are these. Firstly, the greatest need in your life, the greatest need in my life, is to know Jesus more. And the second thing is the Bible, this, through the power of the Holy Spirit, shows us Jesus. That's what this does. So I want to remind us really that the point of reading and studying the Bible is not to gain knowledge. It's not to know more about Jesus, but it's to know Jesus more. So it's not about gaining knowledge, but about deepening a relationship. And then the third point is that the world is in desperate need for God's people to know their Saviour more, to know Jesus more. Why? Because simply when we know him more, then we're going to tell people more about him, aren't we? And we're going to be more, you know, have a greater picture and be able to tell people much more about our Saviour the more we know him. So that's the three things. The greatest need in your life is to know Jesus more. The Bible, through the power of the Holy Spirit, shows us Jesus. And the world is in desperate need for God's people to know their Saviour more. So we will look at the Bible in a minute, but I want to start by reading an excerpt from another book. This is from a biography from a guy called Hudson Taylor. Some of you all heard of Hudson Taylor. This challenged me recently as I was reading it, so I thought I'd challenge us all with it, really. Hudson Taylor, for those who don't know him, because there'll be quite a few that don't, he was a guy that was born in Barnsley in 1832 at the age of 21. He went to China to preach the gospel. So very young, tell people about Jesus, make disciples. And he spent the rest of his life dedicated to doing this and saw thousands and thousands of people become Christians. And in fact, in 1853, which is when he went to China, there were just a handful of Christians in China. And just before his death, so he died in 1905, just before he died, there were estimated to be 100,000 Christians in China. Now, his life was marked by three things. When Claire read this, she said it should be called the Three Things Talk. But anyway, this is the last three things. He dedicated himself to three things. Prayer, what he called prayerful Bible study, and Chinese culture, Chinese people. Those were the three things he dedicated himself to. So, and last time I spoke, for those of you that were here, I spoke on prayer. This time I'm speaking on the Bible. So maybe next time I'll speak on Chinese culture. So this is from a book called Taylor's Spiritual Secret. So it was written by one of his sons. So it says, to him, so for Hudson Taylor, the secret of overcoming lay in daily, hourly fellowship with God. And this, he found, could only be maintained by secret prayer and feeding upon the word through which God reveals himself to the waiting soul. It was not easy for Mr. Taylor in his changeful life to make time for prayer and Bible study. Does that sound familiar? But he knew that it was vital. We remember travelling with him month after month in northern China by cart and by wheelbarrow. With the poorest of inns at night, we would screen off a corner for him and another for ourselves with curtains of some sort. And then after sleep had at last brought a measure of quiet, we would hear a match struck and see the flicker of candlelight, which told that Mr. Taylor, however weary, was poring over the little Bible we had in two volumes, always at hand. From 2 till 4 a.m. was the time he usually gave to prayer, the time when he could be most sure of being undisturbed to wait on God. The hardest part of a missionary career, and I'd add here that we're all missionaries, this was not going to China, we're all missionaries, the hardest part of a missionary career, Mr. Taylor found, is to maintain regular, prayerful Bible study. Satan will always find you something to do, he would say. when you ought to be occupied with that, even if it's only arranging a window blind. Knowing God, that's got to be the highest purpose of our lives. And part of this, a great part, is studying what God himself said about himself. It's a good starting point. So I was challenged when I read that, and I think as we look at these things today, the challenge, I believe, to us is, should we be a bit more Hudson Taylor about how we study the Bible? That's the challenge. There's too many books, aren't there? Too many other books, too many window blinds to rearrange. So we're going to look at Luke 24 in a moment, if you've got a Bible and want to turn to it. Luke is New Testament, third book in the New Testament, and we're going to be looking at chapter 24, so which is the last chapter in Luke. And as we, before we do that, I'll just pray. Yeah, Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together and look at your word and what it means. Thank you for your word. Thank you for, Father, for revealing Jesus in your word to us that we can know him. Thank you that your word gives us life. Thank you that through your word, through your Holy Spirit, transforming the words on a page into reality in our hearts, that you transform our lives. And I thank you for that. Again, opportunity today just to spend a bit of time together looking at that. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you come and stir in us a new passion for your word, a new passion for seeking you out in your word, God, to know you more. Amen. So the greatest need in your life is to know Jesus more. Hudson Taylor thought that. But what did Jesus think? That's more important, isn't it? I want to look at something that happened towards the end of Jesus' life on earth before he went back to heaven. So Luke 24, the background to this is Jesus died, had been crucified 3 days before this here. So in front of all his disciples, he was young, 33, quite young when he died. And this shattered the hopes of a lot of Jews at that time, because they thought he was the Messiah that had come to sort of save them from the Roman rule. And they were expecting him to come and wipe away all the Romans, and he didn't. He died. And so their hopes were sort of shattered. And then 3 days later, which is when this is set here now, he rose again. But he hasn't really appeared to anyone yet as we join the story here. So it's on the third day, he's risen again, but he hasn't really appeared to anyone. And we join it as he sort of appears to some guys that are walking along a road. So we're joining it at verse 13, 3 days after Jesus has died. Luke 24, verse 13. It says, that same day, so 3 days later, two of Jesus' followers will walk into the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. So that's 7 miles, that's here to Droitwich. They were walking from here to Droitwich. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. And he asked them, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? And they stopped, sadness written across their faces. And one of them said, Cleopas, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. What things? Said Jesus. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, who was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of followers were at his tomb this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and that they'd seen angels who told them Jesus was alive. Some of our men ran to see as well. And sure enough, the body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time they were nearing Emmaus, the end of their journey, and Jesus acted as if he was going on, but they begged him, stay with us, since it's getting late. So he went home and he stayed with them. And as he sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it, he broke it and gave it to them, And suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. And they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? That's not how I would have returned if I'd just risen from the dead, you know? I would have been all over the sort of lights and the noise and the disappearing and reappearing and booming voices and everything. I don't know about you. I certainly wouldn't have decided to sidle up to some depressed Jews and do a Bible study. Have you ever thought that was strange? First people he appears back to almost, and that's what he does. The first thing it seems that Jesus was keen to teach them was knowing about him, who he was, what the Bible said about him, how it pointed to him, seeing him in the scriptures, in the Old Testament. It says Moses and the prophets. That's what we would call the Old Testament now. Jesus wanted them to know what the Bible said about him. And this had an amazing effect, didn't it? It wasn't like, oh, that's interesting. Thanks for pointing that out. It was, didn't our hearts burn within us? You know, do our hearts burn within us when we read the Bible? Similarly, later in the chapter, Jesus appeared to his disciples in Jerusalem. So verse 45 goes on and it says, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures about him. So these guys knew Jesus. They'd spent 3 years with him, a lot of them. Yet one of Jesus' first concerns was to open their eyes to who he was in scripture, who the Bible says that he is. So Jesus said to them, you know, you've seen me and you know me, but listen, this is who I really am. This is who I truly am. So Jesus thought it was one of the most important things for his followers to know, and we're his followers. And Jesus calls us to know what the Bible says about him, what he says about himself. Know more of his character, know who he is, know his plans, his ways. And the first thing Jesus says is, look in here, I'm written through the pages. So the greatest need in our life, in your life, in my life, is to know Jesus more. Jesus thought so. So should we be a bit more Hudson Taylor about how we get to know the Jesus of the Bible? Should we be making more time, prioritising time to spend, saying, yeah, Jesus, I want to know you, therefore I'm prioritising some time to do this? Whatever works for you, you know, 2 till 4 in the morning. I don't know if that works for me, to be honest. But weave it into our routine. It's whatever works for you, but it's setting that time aside and saying, Jesus, I want to know you more and I want to know you from the Bible. So that's the first thing. And the second thing, which is clear from this passage really, is it's through the power of the Holy Spirit and only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we get to know the Jesus of the Bible, that we get to know Jesus. You know, as Jesus sidles up to these two guys at the start, it actually says, so right at the start, verse 16, it says, God kept them from recognizing him. And then later on, when they're at the meal table, it says, he opened their eyes. And when he appeared to the disciples in Jerusalem, it also says there, that then their eyes were opened. So this is not something they can do for themselves. They couldn't do that themselves. It was God, through the Holy Spirit, that opened their eyes. So have you ever thought that you can only know someone if they want you to know them? Can't you? You can spend a decade, 2 decades with someone, and if they don't want you to know them, then you won't. You know, I'm sure there are people you know that you've worked with who you don't really know. Yet you've spent a lot of time with them. You might know about them, but you'll never know them unless they choose to open up to you, tell you stuff about themselves, their heart, their feelings. And that's the same with God. You know, we can spend our whole lives studying and know a lot about God, but never know him unless he reveals himself to us. And that's a good thing. Why? Well, it means that it's not dependent on us and our ability or our cleverness or our ability to study or anything like that. It's not about reading lots of commentaries or lots of books about the Bible, books about what people say Jesus is like, you know? And there are lots of books out there. There's lots of good books out there. And there are lots of stories in the Bible, but it's not about just reading these stories. There's that song, isn't there, that says, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. It's just thousands of stories, whatever you read, until you hear God's voice speaking to you. And the Holy Spirit brings the Word of God alive in you, and as he did for these guys, open your eyes. So to hear God speaking in the Bible, you don't have to be a mega brain. You don't have to be a professor of languages. You don't have to be good at studying. Why? Because it's all God's work. You know, it's all about the Holy Spirit opening our eyes and ears to see and understand the Bible. And that's when it goes from knowledge about God to knowing God. And the really beautiful thing about that is it's the same for everyone. All right? Young, old, educated, uneducated, rich, poor. It's all about God's grace in opening our eyes to truly see. So don't disqualify yourself. Anyone that may disqualify themselves from knowing God deeper through the Bible. You know, feels dry to me. I'm just, don't know where to start. It's just words on a page. Doesn't mean anything to me. Don't disqualify yourself. Because it's not about you and your ability to study, but about God and his ability to speak to you. God calls us to seek him, but he does the revealing. So, should we be a bit more Hudson Taylor about our seeking, about our getting to know the Jesus? And then God is faithful in his revealing. So making time for that, making time to do that. And secondly, when we are in that secret place, where we're in that time when it's just us and God and the Word, asking the Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts the things from his Word. You know, simple prayer. I want to know you, God. Show me who you are from the Word, from your Word. But do we stay in that secret place? Do we stay in that on our knees, just us, God, and the Bible? No, of course we don't. The third thing from this passage that I want us to see is that we go and tell. That's the natural consequence, isn't it? If you look at what the next verse says in this passage, so we can get on to verse 33, it says, and within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. Within the hour. They've just walked for 3 hours, got in, sat down eventually. You know, Jesus has broken the bread. Bang, like he's disappeared. There must have been a little bit of surprise. Crying, laughing, praising God, I don't know. Trying to eat something, packing a rucksack, getting their shoes back on, legging it out back to Jerusalem. You know, I mean, within the hour, back on the road for another three-hour walk back. Why? To tell people about Jesus. Something had changed, hadn't it? They weren't depressed, these guys, anymore. They'd met Jesus. And the more we see and know Jesus, the more we're changed and the more we want to tell people about him. One of the first invitations that Jesus sent out to folks that God sent out to folks when Jesus came to earth was, come and see. Come and see. And one of the first things Jesus says here to his disciples when he's risen again is, come and see. He shows them, look, come and look at my hands and my feet. Come, I'm real. Come and see. Come and see me. And he opens their eyes to who he is. And one of the last things Jesus said to his disciples before he left in Matthew 28 is, go and tell. Come and see, go and tell. The order remains the same. Come and see me, know me, and go and tell what you see and what you know. Bear witness about me. And the Bible is one of the main ways that we come and see. When the eyes of our heart are opened by the Holy Spirit to understand what he says about himself. Jesus is written through these pages. It all points to him, start to finish. He said it himself. He showed them who he was from the Old Testament. Start to finish, it's all about Jesus. In this, God has revealed his Son. Come and see, go and tell. The world needs to hear about Jesus. The world needs to hear that they need a Saviour. You know, many don't even know that. Many don't know that they need a Saviour. Yes, we need to care for those who are hurting and help physical needs, those who are in need, who are poor, haven't got clothes, those who just need emotional support. We need to be helping these people, but their greatest need and their greatest problem is that they are alienated from God because of their sin. Their deepest need is for a real Lord and Saviour. They need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about this God that we know. This person who's a friend of ours as well as a saviour of the world. Who loves us and is offering his life for our life. Paying that final price for our sin by dying in our place so that we don't have to. They need to hear it. An exchange for us giving our lives to him to follow, love and trust and worship him. What an outrageous exchange. We give a life we can't keep to gain a life and a saviour that we can't lose. The good news of the gospel of God is that we get to know God. We get God. Come and see. Go and tell. The world is in desperate need for God's people to know their Saviour more. But how do we engage people in these conversations? Well, I want to suggest we do it like Jesus did it. And the more we know him, the more we will be like him. And you know, when you look through at how Jesus did that, for him often it was the small things. The ordinary things. It was the ordinary things that really counted when you look at through Jesus' life. He used the small things to engage people and to demonstrate his love for them. So Jesus noticed people. He prayed for them. He listened. He asked questions. He loved them. You know, that was clear, wasn't it? You know, people were attracted to him because they saw in him someone that cared and someone that loved them. He welcomed them. He facilitated good conversations. He served with people. And he shared the good news about the kingdom of God. And the more we know Jesus, the more we'll be like that. But it isn't easy, is it, sometimes, to bring the good news of Jesus, the Son of God, who died for our sins, into everyday conversation. But that is what people need to hear. And for us to be effective, then the answer has to lie here. It has to start with secret prayer and prayerful Bible study. Ransacking this book to know our God more. Praying without ceasing for our friends, for family. And empowered by the Holy Spirit, heading out and telling. Bearing witness to what we know. So, the greatest need in your life is to know Jesus more. The Bible, through the power of the Holy Spirit, shows us Jesus. And the world is in desperate need for God's people to know their Saviour more. Come and see. Go and tell. I wonder if, Pam, you can head up. Thank you very much, worship band. You are fantastic. Due to my lack of communication, thanks, they didn't know they were going to be playing this song until about 10 minutes before we started here, so yeah, thank you guys. So, Hudson Taylor, in 1850, there were only a handful of Christians in China. In 1900, just before he died, there were 100,000. And today, there are estimated to be over 150 million. And I was reading recently of the Chinese house church's plan to send 20,000 missionaries abroad by 2020. Man, from China, 20,000 missionaries. It's incredible, isn't it? And it starts in that secret place of prayerful Bible study, seeking to know our Saviour more today than we did yesterday. Let's get a bit more Hudson Taylor about how we seek to know the God of the Bible, seeking to hear that voice of God as he speaks to us. So I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. And you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. Shall we stand? Yeah, and as we stand, let's just spend a moment quietly asking the Holy Spirit to speak to us, you know, to change us, to stir in our hearts that passion to know him more. Let's ask God to give us that desire to seek him in his word. That we'll be a church rooted and grounded on the word, rooted and grounded on Jesus. Yeah.